You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Shit! The fuck's going on there?
Walter!
What the fuck is going on?
He hung up, man! You fucked it up! You fucked it up! Her life was in our hands, man!
Easy, dude.
We're screwed now. We don't get shit. They're gonna kill her. We're fucked, Walter.
Nothing is fucked, dude. Come on. You're being very undude. They'll call back. Look, she kidnapped her. You see? Nothing's fucked here, dude. Nothing is fucked. They're a bunch of fucking amateurs.
Hey, Walter, will you just shut the fuck up? Don't say people. I'm doing business here, man.
Okay, dude. Do it your way. But they're amateurs.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bulls, old man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you.
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema.
All right, here we go. We are underway. Episode 152 of Cinema Crespediso is here.
Maybe I should
finish swallowing that soda first before I try to start the show.
Soda. Soda?
That's why I call it now. It's soda now.
Who are you fooling?
I'm calling it soda now. That's what I'm calling it.
But
it's adult soda.
It's a beer.
It's beer. I don't know why I said
soda. Just call it beer.
I don't know why I said soda.
Who are you trying to hide the fact that you're drinking?
I'm not trying to hide it.
4 o'clock on a Sunday.
I'm never trying to hide it. And you know what? That's late for us.
It is.
That is
normally drinking much earlier.
Because we record earlier. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I can't do a podcast without drinking my soda. I don't know why I said soda. I'm never trying to hide
so
that
weird.
Stuff, ever. That is strange. I haven't had soda in fucking forever.
Yeah. It's actually probably on par with being bad for you, less beer.
No way. Less chemicals, less, there's less shit going on. Probably less sugar, too, because soda's so loaded.
Yeah, but all the other random carbohydrates that are in there.
Oh, in
the beer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it may not be sugar, but it's still...
There's still, yeah, it'll turn into sugar.
Yeah.
But it's not the same as, like, here's 60 grams of sugar.
God bless Coca-Cola.
Like, just straight up. Can you imagine just here's literally a cup of sugar? And just, well, probably when you were a kid, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see you binging on pure sugar.
Yeah.
Did you ever? You did. Pixie Sticks?
Oh, Pixie Sticks. Whoa,
sure,
yeah.
You did.
Pixie Sticks were awesome.
Yeah, you sugared it up, didn't you?
Of course.
You fucking crazy son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's Juicy Cogburn. How's it going, Drew?
It's going.
Forgot to introduce you.
I like changing my brain chemicals. It's fun. Sugar's all about
changing the way they fire.
Yep. Changing the way they crash. Turning some of them on and off. It's fun.
Yeah, that's life now.
It's good stuff.
So welcome to episode 152. It is just Drewster and myself. We're hanging out, having a good time. It's the beginning of December. Is this our first December? This is our first December episode. End of the year. We're wrapping it up. Which is, a lot going on at the end of the year. A lot of movies to see. We saw a bunch of movies.
We saw a bunch of movies.
So we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Before we do any of that, though, always got to throw this shout out to latestfilmtrailers.net. And make sure you go to latestfilmtrailers.net for the latest
film trailers.
Film trailers. I mean, it's right there. It's so easy.
That are on the internet.
That are on the internet. It's so simple. It writes itself. And sure, on the side, there's some like movie stuff. News aggregated stuff that you could click on if you want to read through some stuff. Why are you going to do that when you can just watch so many trailers? All the new trailers for all the new movies. Check it out. Latestfilmtrailers.net. Thank you guys for sponsors. Did I ever tell you how that sponsorship's working out? How it works?
No.
Oh, yeah. I should explain
it. We can do that eventually sometime.
I'll explain that to you one day. It's an interesting backstory there. Okay, let's go ahead and get started here with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, which means we need that theme song, and that's right here. Here we go.
For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Here we go. Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Time you can go to ChrisCrespo.com for all the past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week. There's kung fu movies and love films and westerns and action movies. It's so crazy. So much fun. Drew's a Cogburn's using a Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000 right now, looking it up. You seeing whether we got it. Because, you know, sometimes they just yank them down.
All right, Chris. This movie's from 1994.
Pulp Fiction.
It's an hour and 43 minutes.
I think that was the past. An hour 43 minutes, 1994, rated R.
Correct. You rated it 4 stars.
I rated it 4 stars. It is starring
Shinobu Nakayama.
Shinobu Nakayama from 1994. It's starring Shinobu Nakayama.
No,
he's just one of the cast people.
He's in there.
I think did we already do? I think we already did Legend of Drunken Master.
Uh huh.
1994 might be the same type. 94. Is it? 3-word title?
Yes.
And it's Fist of Legend? Is it Fist of Legend?
Correct.
All right, there we go. I don't have the applause button. I'll just write this down. Fist of Legend, starring Jet Li and this other guy.
Shinobu Nakayama.
That's a great name. Yama. Fist of Legend is a remake of a Bruce Lee movie, actually, of the Chinese Connection. And it's a great movie, awesome fighting. Jet Li is a total badass, and it's a good story. There's a reason why they remade it, because it's a pretty solid story about revenge and cycles of revenge and all that stuff. And also, it takes place during the Japanese like invasion, occupation in the '20s and all that stuff. A lot of like race things going on. It's pretty interesting shit we don't normally see in movies that we watch.
Yep. Yellow people hating other yellow people.
Yeah, it's like, what? There's racist too all that stuff. Like, this is crazy. There's like, they got their own oppression going on. Like, wow, humans just suck all around the world.
Yes, we do.
But then some of them are also pretty cool.
It can be.
And Jet Li is a pretty cool guy. Character's a pretty cool character. And it's a good movie. Damn good movie.
Agreed.
I really enjoy it. Fist of Legend, that's a good one. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it.
Very welcome, sir.
Let's get into that box office recap for a week. What's going on?
Sir, we're starting at number 18.
Number 18. Oh, yeah.
Legend. It made like $264,000 for a grand total of $906,000.
$106,000 total here in America. Yep. All right. Well, that's not that big of a surprise. I mean, despite us seeing trailers for it forever.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, I haven't seen any commercials for it. Nothing on TV.
No.
And I feel like no one really knows about this movie. English gangster movie. It's like, yep. It's flying under the radar.
Tom Hardy playing two
characters,
twin gangsters.
The Cray brothers. Mm-hmm. True story type stuff.
Yep.
Right? English mafia movie from set in the 50s and early 60s. Right? Which we saw. We saw this. What'd you think?
Thought it was okay.
Okay. Just okay.
I was hoping that it was going to be better. I mean, Tom Hardy did a great job as both better. Of them.
He created, there were two very distinct characters.
But
Reggie and
Ron
Cray.
Yes.
Yeah.
Reggie sounded more like regular Tom Hardy. Ron sounded more like Bane. Every once in a while.
It's like he just wouldn't move his mouth. It's like, I'm gonna play this character, but just start moving my mouth.
Sure. Yeah, but I mean, he did a good enough job. It's just,
he was good.
I mean, it was, I guess I was just looking for a more compelling story as opposed to the fact that, I mean, the only thing I really got out of this was that Reggie Cray liked being a gangster, but he didn't want to be a gangster. And that's all I got out of it. And that seems, it's a very cliche story.
It was pretty cliche, despite it being a true story.
Uh-huh.
I found it pretty, overall, kind of unsatisfying. Like, towards the end, getting pretty bored.
Yep.
And thinking about it, I think it's because since it is based on a true story, the way the story unfolds, a lot of things happen that like things get resolved before they even get started.
Yeah.
Because of outside things happening, because they're trying to stick to a true story. Mm-hmm. So instead of building up to the typical turf warfare thing in the beginning, it's like, oh shit, it's going to be a battle between two rival families.
And
the cops come in and arrest one of the families. And oh, that led to nothing.
Yep.
And then there's other stuff like, obviously don't want to like give away details.
Nothing ever leads to anything but jail time.
It felt like that, right? The American Mafia stuff.
Yeah,
like there's a few scenes in that. It didn't lead to anything.
It meant almost nothing.
There was like no conflict. It was just a job opportunity for them. You know, it could have been anything. If a fictional version of this story would have been better,
probably a little more extreme.
Yeah, because they could have tied things together and made things matter. But by the time the movie was over, it was like most of this movie really didn't matter.
Yeah.
Kind of a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom Hardy is doing great work.
He was great in the movie.
And he's doing that, I don't want to say exactly what, but there's that fast shiving, that fast shank.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
People in theater are like, oh. Theater, a lot of older people.
Kept going.
And they're like, oh, this is violent.
Well, I mean, it is about gangsters.
Yeah.
Things tend to get violent. Some dude got electrocuted through his nipples whilst hanging upside down.
Yeah, that was off-putting.
Yep.
Yeah, see, because they were building those people up like, oh, shit, these guys are crazy, too. So two crazy people going up against each other, and then it's just like, oh, Scotland Yard came in and arrested them. And then they employ I feel like a dirty trick narratively in terms of hiding the fate of one of the characters certain way. Yeah. That I felt like, that's kind of bullshit. Because good storytelling is you withhold information from characters, but you don't withhold information from the audience. Withholding shit from the audience is just dirty.
Yeah.
That's just dirty pool, you know. So yeah, it was pretty. I was a little disappointed. Felt like it could have been much better.
Agreed.
Was hoping for it to be better, like you said. Mm-hmm. Just wanted it to be good, and it was just it was okay at best. Mostly for the Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, you've really got to be a fan of Tom Hardy if you want to watch this movie.
For sure, I think so. For sure. And there should be more fans of Tom Hardy. So.
Yeah, agreed.
Watch that with Locke. You'll get so much Tom Hardy. You don't know what to do with it.
So that's a lot of Tom Hardy talking, too.
That is a lot of Tom Hardy talking in three different voices.
Yes.
Three different... Well, I guess when he was Reggie, he was talking normal. Like you said, he just sounded like him. All right, so yeah, people wait for DVD, that type of thing.
I mean, even if you even want to see it,
only if you're like you said a Tom Hardy fan.
Yeah, right, I mean, okay. It's not like it's required watching.
Sure, absolutely. Unfortunately, because a lot of work went into it.
Mm.
Oh well.
Coming in at number five this week.
Number five.
Spectre had a weekend gross of $5.4 million, total of $184.5 million.
184 crawling to $200 million here in the U.S. Add another, probably at this point, 500, maybe 600 international. It's going to top out around $800 million worldwide.
Well, that'll make its money back and then some.
Yeah, it'll definitely make its money back, even though it did go over budget. It's one of the most expensive movies ever.
$245 million.
And that's the reported budget. Rumors, it's even higher than that, maybe even closer to $300 million.
Ew.
Yeah, and then when you add in marketing, but even then, at $800 million worldwide, it's making money. Not that much money, but it's better than it not making money. They were hoping that it would be another... Skyfall was the first one to make $1 billion.
No.
They're all great now. This means Bond is $1 billion each time out.
Not unless it's good.
No, it's got to be...
Really good.
Damn good. Skyfall is damn good. Damn good. Spectre's not bad, though. I like Spectre.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was good. Well, it's a Bond movie, though. My expectations are always... That Skyfall aside are always in check for Bond movies.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about a movie in which... Roger Moore opened up a briefcase and a helicopter popped out and then he got in and flew away. I mean, come on, guys. We've seen these ridiculous things. We know where this goes. Sean Connery wore yellow face. Speaking of yellow face, do you remember that one? Never Say Never Again? That was a unofficial Bond movie where he didn't have all the rights.
Oh, yeah. I never saw it.
And I'm pretty sure it's the same one. And then Sean Connery has to go to Japan. So they totally yellow face him up with crazy eye makeup and stuff. And he has to pretend to be a Japanese person. But he's still talking like this the whole time.
And he's still like a foot too tall.
I'm 2 foot taller than everyone. That's kind of sounding like Craybane.
Number four this week, The Good Dinosaur.
Good Dinosaur. I still gotta see this, man.
We can gross $15 million total of 75.
Still gotta see The Good Dinosaur. It's Pixar. Pixar. Boom, jinx. Buy me a soda, but a beer. Because.
No, you said soda. I'm gonna get you a Coca-Cola. Oh, I'm gonna make you drink it.
No, please don't.
I'm gonna watch you drink it.
Instant diabetes.
Yep.
Pushes over the edge. No.
Lose a foot. Number three this week.
Yeah, we already talked about how we haven't seen this
movie. Uh-huh. Creed.
All right, good. Creed. Excellent.
We can gross a 15 and a half, total of 65.
65 million, 15 and a half. Not bad. Second weekend. With good word of mouth, I think it'll get to like 85 total US.
It should. It's a fantastic movie. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you didn't see it last week. No. I did my review last week. Well, let's hear the Drew Sakagra.
I mean, it was good. It was it was a Rocky movie. You know, it hit all the heartstrings. Mm. It had you know, a nice long montage, which was, you know, I was looking for in a Rocky movie. there better be a fucking training montage, goddammit.
As two training montages. One of them is a training montage / chemotherapy montage.
Yes, yes, but it's both.
Yeah, at the same time.
Yeah. And the boxing scenes where they were actually fighting, if they could find a way to actually film actual boxing matches like that, I would be interested in watching boxing.
You gotta find, yeah.
But instead, I just want to see the next Rocky movie, and hopefully they'll do the same thing.
Or even improve upon it in some way. Somehow, maybe. Yeah, yeah, because they do. The fighting does keep getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the fighting was good, right?
The fight scenes were awesome.
Was that one that's the one take?
Yeah. It was really good.
That is insane. I read online that they talk about shooting that scene all in one take, the whole thing, like all the preparation, the month-long choreography and practicing, they did it. The guy who plays the actual boxer, the real boxer in there, he's the one who choreographed everything. And they also had the cameraman who was in the ring with him. This is why, Drew, that you can't see real boxing like this, because the cameraman that was in the ring, he took boxing lessons too, so he could figure out how to move like them and be in there with the steady cam. They shot that scene 13 times. Only take 11 and 13 were usable.
Yeah.
And they went with take 11.
It was good.
So we were watching the 11th time that they went through all of that. And that was also Stallone's first day on set. And I imagine it was the same day if he's there giving his input.
Yeah.
But I read another interview where Michael B. Jordan, I read this in Newsweek. Newsweek interviewed Michael B. Jordan. And he said he was boxing. And then, like, Stallone, like, called out to him. He's like, hey, you gotta take the hit. You gotta get hit. Like, if you want this to look good, you gotta get hit in there. Because apparently they weren't going all out. They weren't really hitting each other. It's like, you gotta do it. And I like to imagine that was the same day.
I hope
it was
so.
Like he said that during take 10.
Yeah.
It's all right, take 11. Here we go. And then the digital adding of the like, it's all one take. And he hits him. He turns back and his eyebrows cut.
Yep.
That was slick.
It was.
It looked really good. And then it was a mix of like CGI and on set. Like some dude like just off the side of the camera. And so when Michael B. Jordan was out of the shot for a second, like, can I get out? Check out the shot. Yeah. It's good. Man, it's slick.
It was good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I think, if you're a fan of sports movies, you should watch it. If you're a fan of Rocky movies, you should definitely see it.
I think even if it transcends a sports movie, because they do spend a lot of time on the
personal side.
Yeah, the Adonis Bianca relationship, and then the Adonis Rocky, the, you know, absentee father type thing going on, all that stuff, and the absentee son, because his son's in some place called Vancouver. I don't know. Yeah, man.
It was good. I highly recommend, like I said, just go out and see it.
Good stuff. Yeah, people, go and see it. Go see that Creed.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Krampus. We can gross to $16 million. Seems total
$16 million
on a budget of 15. So in their first week, they made their money back.
They matched that production budget. Hey, good for them. $16 million is not bad at all for this weekend. The first weekend of December is usually considered one of the slower weekends of the year, like top five slow weekends. So for that kind of gross, for that kind of movie, not bad at all. I saw it. I went and saw it yesterday.
How was it?
You know what? It wasn't bad. It was actually, it was pretty good. I was not necessarily expecting, I was hoping for it to be a little more relentless in terms of the terror inside the house.
Yeah.
And, you know, more monsters going on. Early on, like within half an hour, you get your first Krampus sighting, and it's done pretty well. It's like a character's running down the street, like running because a blizzard comes and fucks shit up, and Krampus is there, right? A character's running down the street, and Krampus is like on the rooftop in the background across the street, jumping from roof to roof, and it's all like in the background, kind of like in The Host during the opening park attack, and the monster's running in the background while everyone's running around. It had that kind of feel too. It was really cool. And they had like a lot of good practical effects work too going on, made it all feel like kind of creepy. But so that happens in the beginning, and then there's a lot of the family like boarded up inside the house, discussing what they're gonna do, going through their own shit. It takes a while for like the shit to hit the fan for real, and then when it does, there's a good amount of stuff. You already see in the trailer. There's the clown head,
like the crazy toys.
Yeah, the crazy toys. You see two of the three in the attic. And then you full on see Krampus like towards the end of the movie. You see his whole face and everything, and I think it must be a large dude inside an even bigger suit. I think that's what's going on. The face doesn't move at all; just like a mask type thing, but it looks really creepy and weird looking. Cool. Appropriately, you know. But yeah, I felt like, I mean, there was that dread and tension. A lot of that. What? That's one. That's two.
That's it. That's how we're getting. No trifecta.
That's good because I'm out of my can's empty here. I'm out of soda. All out of soda, Drew.
I'm sorry, Chris.
So you would
recommend it?
I would recommend it. I did want more monster stuff, but it still did good with what it had. And there was a little bit of CG. That was still, you know, it was like fun what they were trying to do. And I understand why they went CG with the characters that they did. But a lot of the other stuff felt like practical effects and looked really interesting. And then it's, you know, a good cast because you got Adam Scott, Toni Collette, David Koechner, Alison Tolman, the chick from the first season of Fargo. You know, they're all good. And it's about, you know, it's like Collette and Tolman are sisters and they're spending the holidays together. But like the two families don't get along at all, obviously. So then now they got to get along because they're under siege by Krampus. It was good. PG-13, which was so
that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it was a little surprising, and it's a little bloodless because of that. There's maybe one shot of like someone's wound that's kind of quick, and I think that's pretty much it for like gore type stuff. So it's mostly things jumping out at you from the darkness and characters getting yanked around and stuff like that. Still pretty good for being a PG-13 horror movie, which I'm normally not into. It was pretty good, and it's like, it also has a very genuine. It's kind of like The Night Before, where that's like kind of a raunchy, crazy night out in New York, drug sex comedy type thing.
Yeah,
but it has a very emotional, sentimental Christmas message. This is the same way, where the movie starts early on. The characters, actually, this is really funny. The opening credits all play out during it's like Black Friday, and the doors open for a store in slow motion. And people are just like a mob runs in there and they're beating each other up and they're all fighting all in slow motion while there's some nice Christmas music playing. And like some kids are sitting in Santa's lap and they're crying. It's like the worst aspects of the commercialization of Christmas, right? And then in the beginning, one of the characters is watching the scene in one of the original Christmas Carol movie adaptations, where he's being visited by Jacob Marley. It's like, you'll see some ghosts, you know, and they're going to scare the fuck out of you, and then you'll become a better person. And Scrooge is like, no, I don't want to be a better person. That's the movie. You know, it's you're being taught a lesson to remember that Christmas is all about love and giving and sacrifice and stuff like that and appreciating your family. So it's got that very nice message. Yeah. A sentimental message that you really have to be a soulless, black-hearted asshole to argue against it, but it's wrapped up in a horror movie about the shadow of Santa that likes to play with his victims before he yanks them through a chimney or sends in his minions to terrorize them.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool. I dug it. So if you're into movies like that, you know, like a Gremlins type of thing, it's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's worth it. It's not great. I wish. Kind of like Legend, I wanted it to be better, but I wasn't really disappointed by it or anything. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. So
awesome.
Krampus, there you go. Boom. Reviewed. Done.
Boom.
Go ahead, Drew.
Coming in number one, The Hunger Games, Colin Mockingjay, hyphen, part two.
God damn, Hunger Games.
Weekend gross, $18.6 million, total of $227.
$227 after only, what, 3 weeks?
Yep.
Man.
But it's the end of it, Chris. It's over.
It is over.
And I still haven't seen the end of it, and I don't really care.
You know, it's like if it's on HBO one day and you come across it.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Mm-hmm. It really isn't bad. The last one, the part one, Mockingjay part
so
one.
So boring.
Boring as fuck. At least, like, stuff happens in this one. Characters die. The story gets resolved. You get answers and resolution. At least you have that. That's what Hunger Games 2 and 3 part 1 were missing. The feeling like an actual movie. Like,
yeah.
like a beginning, middle, and end. Although this one is more like middle and end. You know, it's kind of missing the beginning.
Well, it's just like, oh, the but that was the last movie.
Beginning was part 1. Beginning was 2 hours long.
Yes.
Like, fuck you guys. Not necessary. But you know what? Financially, $220 million so far in 3 weeks. Fucking worked out for them. That's why. That's why they did it. That's why J Law making up $20 million paychecks per movie.
Pa-ching.
Yeah, good for punching.
Cha-ching. I don't that know.
It's like a cash register with a lisp.
It exactly. Yes. That's exactly what it is, Chris.
New movies coming out on DVD this week. We got Minions. That movie that surprised the fuck out of me in terms of how much money it made.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll watch it.
Maybe. Maybe. They do go to Orlando.
Do they?
Yeah. That's where the villain convention is.
Mm.
Orlando and Las Vegas. Those are the convention capitals of the country. Right there. Recognize. They felt like drawing palm trees instead of sand. You know how much all the little sand, all the little dots, how long that would have taken?
No.
The Transporter Refueled. Refueled? Yeah, Refueled comes out. If anyone cares about that.
No, nobody does.
Yeah, I'll probably never, ever see that. Ant-Man comes out on DVD now this week. Excuse me, Disney's Marvel's Ant-Man.
That.
Good.
Should be watched by people.
Yeah, people check that one out. It's fun. It's a good one. Michael Peña's character is great. He's so funny.
Oh, man. He's so funny.
He's so funny. All right, Drew, so it's come out in theaters.
Oh, in theaters this week, if my computer will fucking work.
Come on, computer.
In the Heart of the Sea, the new Ron Howard movie.
Oh, yeah.
The true story that inspired Herman Melville's Moby Dick.
Moby Dick. The story of the HMS Essex, which before the Titanic sank, it was the Titanic story of its time. The extremely infamous voyage that got fucked up out in the ocean and sank and most people died.
Yeah.
And then Titanic came along. I was like, oh, we'll show you real naval-based tragedy. you know, I want to see it. I talk about on the show openly about my my weird phobia of whales, which I think stems from Pinocchio, Monstro the Whale. And I'm actually looking forward to this one to seeing all the whale action. I want to see that whale fuck some shit up. And
hell yeah.
You know, give me the heebie-jeebies a little bit.
That'd be awesome.
And it's a Ron Howard movie.
Well, no, yeah.
Dude made Apollo 13 for crying out loud.
Also coming out, saw a preview for this in front of the legend, The Big Short.
Yes. Yes, it's coming out limited, so we'll get to see it soon enough. Directed by the guy, a bank fraud market collapse movie directed by the guy who did Talladega Nights and Anchorman and Step Brothers. It's kind of weird, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
A banking drama?
Yeah.
By Adam McKay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and here it is.
No, wait. By Adam McKay? Wait, the guy who was in Krampus?
No, that's David Koechner. No, Adam Scott.
Ah, right. I knew it was an Adam.
Adam Scott. Great cast, man. Christian Bale, Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling. What's the other guy's name? The other guy?
Steve Carell?
I said that.
Gosling.
Said that.
Christian
Bale.
Bale.
I said that.
Yeah.
And wasn't there a fourth
person? Pitt.
Bradley Pitts.
And,
Bradley Pitts.
Fat Dude.
Oh, yeah, Fat Dude. Fat Dude. Fat Dude.
Jonah Hill.
Was he in that?
Yeah, he was doing the stand. Scarlett Johansson. No.
No, wait. That's Hail Caesar.
Sorry, damn it. I was getting those two confused. The trailers got confusing.
That's great. Yeah, Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
Which, that one stands out to me because it's a two-word title, yet It is riddled with punctuation. There's commas and exclamation points. And what's going on here? Hail Caesar! That's how you have to pronounce that. That looks good. Channing Tatum, come on, that looks good. That looks like fun.
It does. It looks funny.
Yeah, okay. Big Short, definitely want to see that. Looks good. What else coming up?
And this weird-ass movie with Sam Rockwell and Danny McBride called Don Verdeen.
Don Verdeen. That's notable because it's a Jared Hess movie.
Yes.
The guy who did Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And Gentlemen Broncos a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And a movie that I think is very underrated, Nacho Libre. I really enjoyed that movie.
That was a weird movie.
It's a very weird movie. All his movies are weird, which I appreciate. And then this one has, I think, a bit of a religious thing going for it, for the story. And he's a Mormon, so I'm always interested when people's like religion and stuff starts invading their art as they're trying to work some shit out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm always interested in that. So yeah, I want to check that out if I get the chance. We'll see. All right, time for that wonderful part of the show. My favorite part of the show. Everyone's favorite part. Get hit about this every week. Like, can we get more? We want more. Can we get 3 cents, 4 cents? No, people, you can't get that many cents, but you know what we will give you? Give you Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
Here we go. The doctor is in. Dr. Drew, take it away.
This, for the last, I know, couple of weeks, months, however long it's been. I don't even remember anymore. It's been too long.
Time is lost all for me.
I've been playing Fallout for way too long. But
Fallout 4,
yes. But I have found some fun little movie references throughout the game as I've been playing.
No shit.
At one point in time, you're on the coast or whatever, the death scene when Quint... Remember the movie Jaws?
Yes.
When Quint dies?
Yes.
That, I mean, here's a picture of it. I mean, it's right there. That's it. We have some giant mutated shark and some dude on the boat.
Jaws reference, there you go.
Jaws reference.
Okay, very cool. Look at that.
So that was a good one.
Right. Shout out to Jaws.
There's a reference to the movie Ted. In one of the bathrooms, there's a teddy bear. It's reading a magazine, sitting on the toilet with a pair of sunglasses on.
So weird.
Just like in the movie Ted when he was on the toilet.
So weird.
Such
a weird thing to reference.
There's one of your companions, Codsworth. He's like a robot.
That'd have been one of my companions. No, like, I don't know anyone named Codsworth.
In the game, okay. you have companions. One of them's called Codsworth.
Okay.
And you can have him call you different names.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of you can enter your own, but a lot of the names that are...
Available
are... movie related names, you know, like one like Rockatansky from Mad Max.
Nice.
You know, other ones from Mad Max. It also supports Neo and Morpheus from The Matrix. And he references Monty Python and the Holy Grail every once, you know, because, you know, he'll fight for you, with you, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Every so he has an English accent as well, which makes this even more hilarious because every once in a while he'll say, "Tis but a scratch" from Monty Python.
That's awesome.
What else we got here? I think that's it. I'm pretty sure because I had them all written down.
So a lot of little movie references.
A lot of movie references, which, you know, just proves that, you know, the people who make these games love, you know, films just as much as everybody else does.
That's why I try to make the game as cinematic as they can, right?
Exactly.
There you go. Very cool.
So there we go. That's it.
Doctor's out. There we go. Thank you very much, Drew Sacogman. Appreciate it. Let's take a break here. One of my favorite parts of Creed is the score, the soundtrack.
It's good stuff.
It's good stuff. I love the theme that they have for Adonis and the music that the girlfriend plays. He has a couple of songs that you hear on the original motion picture score, the instrumental stuff, because there's two. There's that, and then there's the Then there's a soundtrack that has like all the John Legend and the Roots stuff on there that they play in the movie. They have the instrumental versions of the songs that her band plays. So here's one of them, song Grip, the first one that you hear in the first club that she's at. And then I'm going to end that with the end titles music.
Yeah.
Because it's a nice cornucopia. It's got like the Adonis theme in there with all the horns and stuff. And it has the a little bit of the Pretty Ricky Conlon theme in there. Mm-hmm. And also it's a nice example of how it's kind of old school music in terms of, you know, the orchestral score and the horns and all that, like the Bill Conti stuff. But there's also some modern instrumentation, like they throw a beat in there, you know.
Yeah,
like they're playing, here's the horn stuff, then here's a beat on top of that. All right, so here you go, guys, enjoy these two songs and we'll be back with the second half of the show. I got get me another soda. You heard about that soda? You heard about that soda, Drew?
I heard about that soda. Hey, I don't know why you called it a soda, but I heard about it.
I don't know, it's just so weird. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Quest Logo.
We are back. Episode 152 is underway once again. I'm hanging out with Chris Cogman. Drew Hayden.
What up, bro?
Why don't you go ahead and get them plugs started?
You can find me at Antihero419 all over the interwebs.
All over the interwebs.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's it.
That's all I got.
That's all
I got. I like it clean and concise.
That's all you want to push?
That's all I got.
Do you have any side business you want to let people know about?
I mean, I do.
Little under the table deals people can get in on?
I do graphic design work. If you need anything done, hit me up.
Ooh, got any Black Friday specials for graphic design work?
No. I don't do specials, Chris.
You should be like, every day is Black Friday.
Nah, man. Fuck that. That's bullshit.
Nah, brah.
Don't undercut yourself, Chris. Gotta make that money.
Oh, fair enough. Good advice. Good business advice there from Juice Cogburn, Drew. Email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. If you want free stickers, we'll send them to you. Just give us your address. We'll put them in the mail. Boom. We gotta get rid of these stickers, guys. Gotta do a new run of a new design. Really shouldn't do that, though, before we get rid of these 1,000 stickers maybe left. Maybe 700.
Well, that there is about 750.
So we got about 1,500 stickers here that we need to get rid of, people. So cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. If you got stickers in the past, don't be shy. You can always ask for more. It's all good. It's all good. What else I want to plug? Oh, follow us on Twitter at Crespediso, Cinema Crespediso on Facebook and Instagram, and hit me up on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo, and go to chriscrespo.com. And latestfilmtrailers.net. All right. It's like that Eric Andre show where the doubles came out and they copied them.
So weird.
So weird. Like watching that and Billy on the Street back to back is
It's a bit of a mind fuck.
It's a lot of weird TV.
Yeah.
It's like postmodern anti TV stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's good times.
It is.
That's my kind of TV, right? Anyway, not enough of that shit out there, which is good because then you get sick of it. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too much of a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like there's something. Oh, all right, I knew there was something else. I'm stalling because I didn't want to. I knew there was something. Drew, I knew there was something.
Okay, what is it?
That shot of vodka starting to kick in.
the extra little bit of soda there, Chris?
A little bit of soda. That was diet soda, yo.
It was a wee soda.
It was a wee diet soda. I was on the... I called into a show talking nonsense.
Okay.
With Eric and Stacy.
Did you talk nonsense?
We talked that nonsense, yeah. We talked it. You can check them out on at alt360.com. It's like an internet radio thing. They do a lot of music, but mm-hmm. they also have like podcasts on
Talky Talk stuff.
Yeah, they have Talky Talk stuff, but they go by radio rules. So Eric and Stacy, I called into their other show, Talking Rubbish.
Did you talk rubbish?
We talked some rubbish there. And Talking Nonsense is like the radio censored version.
Okay.
So we couldn't curse.
Gotcha.
Well, otherwise, it's all the same shit. Yeah. I've talked to them before, and this was, a repeat call, and it looks like it might be something that I start doing on a monthly basis. I might call them once a month, just to talk movies
talk
for 23.
Shit.
Yeah, I'm going to check in with them again after we see Star Wars.
Nice.
You can check that out at all360.com or, Eric and Stacy on Twitter, at Eric and Stacy. You can just go to my Twitter account, at I am Chris Crespo. Go back, like, maybe a week or so, if you're listening to the show fresh, and you'll see some links to the show that I was on. It was a good time. So.
Awesome.
Got a little gassy there. That's soda, bro. Okay, here we go. Let's get started with our good friend Billy D up in New York City and his Death of the Movie segment, which we like to call Billy D's Death of the Movies. It's a little loud there.
So glad you made it. This will be better than the last time. Oh yeah. What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D?
And guest?
Almost. It didn't happen this week.
I had the first of several busy weeks here in NYC. Got to shoot some live music. That was fun.
Oh, that's cool.
The next two shoots are going to be epic, though. Got to get my game face on.
Oh, shit.
As I've mentioned in the past, Billy D's Death of the Movies is a democratic effort at times. Sometimes a Hail Mary is thrown because neither of you is feeling like defending a movie about killer polar bears or a movie about space weed. That is how I watched People, Places, Things on Netflix.
Yeah, it was on Netflix. Yeah, Jermaine Clement.
I cut the cord from cable almost a decade ago. Haven't had it since before I lived in my last place in Florida. I also don't visit home much, so I live in a bubble where movies that are sweet and nice don't typically make it through all the horror and foreign action and death metal to my eyeballs. People, Places, Things is a movie about a graphic novelist, Jermaine Clement, whose wife leaves him, and he has to figure out who he is, what he wants, and how to take care of his twin daughters in a studio apartment in Astoria. It's funny, sweet, is packed with comedy, that guys and girls, and is a very good little movie. Kind of perfect for the holidays, even though it isn't a holiday movie. Its cast is pretty top-notch. Stephanie Allen, Regina Hall, Jessica Williams, and Michael Chimas all deliver the goods, and Jermaine Clement really lays on the charm. He's aged into his perfect screen dad. Off topic, I went to see a smart/dumb dad comedy with Mark Duplass and Jermaine Clement. Like, two guys who have to hang out together because of their kids, and some insane dad ventures makes them best friends. Check out People, Places, Things on Netflix. Stay cool, Billy D.
Billy D, how about this, Billy D? How about the next installment of the Daddy Daycare series starring Mark Duplass and Jermaine Clement?
There we go.
Be like the third or fourth one of those. Yeah. And then, and the other guy that's in Flight of the Conchords, you can get that guy and Scoot McNairy in like the newest Air Bud installment. And then we can do a crossover, Daddy Daycare Air Bud crossover, reuniting the Flight of the Conchords guys, but now including
Scoot
and Duplass. Took me a second to remember the people we were talking about.
All right.
I want to see that happen. Someone make that happen. I'm not going to make it. That's too much work.
It is a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. A lot of people. A lot of two movie franchises that you were. Well, thank you, Billy D. We appreciate it. People's Places, Things. That was actually been on my radar for a minute. I think it might even be on my list on the Netflix. So have to watch it.
One of these days.
Maybe with when I'm with the family during Christmas. It sounds like a good family movie to watch.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Either that or I'm bringing Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with me. So.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is awesome.
Yeah, the thing is, I can't remember. I think they may have seen it already. I can't remember.
Man, I'm going to have to watch that soon.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, it's the time of year for it.
It is.
Yeah.
Give me some Fat Val Kilmer in my life.
Always use some. And he was like, you know, he lost a couple pounds for that role.
Yeah. Still. He's still Fat Val.
Still Fat Val. Good old Fat Val. Love that guy. All right, so I was playing these movies. Yes, let's get into the Vox Populi, the segment of the people. If you want your stuff read on the show, cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com or Twitter, Facebook, however, Instagram messages. But we'll read them in this segment of the people. This is a show of the people, and this is the intro of the people.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox.
All right, here we go. Segment of the people. Drew Scogburn, take it away. What do the people have to say?
Sir, we have an email from a man named Doug.
What's up, Doug?
Doug! Hey, Chris and Drew. First time submitting something, been listening since Chris's appearance on Doug Loves Movies. Loving the podcast.
Oh, hey, awesome.
Look at that shit.
Hey, yeah, so you're... So he's the guy. He's the one that's listening.
He's the guy. He's the one guy. That's all we were looking for, right?
That's all. The turnaround. The bump. Yes. Shout out to everyone listening since I was on Doug Loves Movies back in September. That was pretty dope. And we're all fellow Doug Loves Movies fans because I'm a fan of that show.
Yes, you are.
And Doug is a fan of that show. Doug loves Doug Loves Movies. Doug, you should do a podcast. Where you, every episode of Doug Loves Movies, you just do like your own review of the show and you recap and you talk about it and give your opinion.
Doug Loves Movies.
And then Doug will hear about it, Doug Benson, and then he'll do a podcast where it's Doug Loves Doug Loves Movies. Yeah.
Doug's.
Hey, it's a lot of love.
All right. Well, he's got a Krampus mini review for us.
Oh, perfect.
Krampus manages to deliver a unique and spooky product despite its PG-13 rating, full of creatures ranging from adorably destructive to Del Toro-esque and disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
The quality of the practical effects justifies the movie not being released straight to DVD.
Yeah.
With enough laughs to keep you engaged until people start getting knocked off, Krampus is definitely worth the $10 ticket. Thanks, guys. Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it, man. He's right about the quality of the effects. It's very good. It's very good.
The
things that are in the attic.
These days, I would assume that really good practical effects work is probably damn cheap.
You would hope so. You would think so, right? In comparison?
Not in comparison, only because they have to undercut to get the work.
Yeah, that's why a lot of those effects houses go out of business.
Exactly.
Because they're competing against each other.
No.
But yeah, for sure, like, they are quality. That is a good reason to keep it, for it to be a theatrical experience. Because, yeah, with shittier effects, if they went all CG, it could have easily been... Could have easily been direct-to-video.
Yes.
Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn versus the world. Juicy Cogburn, you are 18-6 this year in your Juicy Cogburn versus the world. We have at least, knock on wood, two more guests to go before the year is over.
Okay.
So winning record assured. If you sweep it, you end at 20-6. 20-6? Last year you were 13-7, barely over 500. Mm-hmm. That would be sick. But here we go. At the worst, it could be 18-8, which is still a great record.
And before the year before that, I was 11-11-1.
See, it's working, Drew. Next year, I expect total dominance in 2016.
I don't know about total dominance.
Total dominance.
Some people still have my number, Chris.
Yeah, Curtis Earthing.
Yeah.
And,
Baby Lack.
Baby Lack. I got Baby Lack back in here.
I can't seem to beat him.
He's good. He's good. Well, this week is the old game we've played before. Scene partners. I'm going to tell you three actors or actresses, and you tell me the movie that they are in.
Okay.
And I did this, hopefully it starts out pretty easy for you, and then it will get a little more difficult towards the end. Here we go. Number one, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, Ray Liotta. What movie were they in together?
The Godfather.
No.
No, Goodfellas. It was Goodfellas. It was Goodfellas. Fuck. It was Goodfellas.
Number two.
Fuck.
Brad Pitt, Ed Norton, Helena Bonham Carter.
Fight Club.
That's correct. Number three. Michael Keaton, Kim Basinger, Jack Nicholson. That is correct. Number four. Johnny Depp, Winona Ryder, Anthony Michael Hall.
Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm. Winona Ryder, I want a Ryder.
I can see one of the scenes in my head, but I can't remember the name of the movie. So I'm going to have to pass on that.
You can see the scene in your head?
Yeah. But
is Johnny Depp in this scene?
Yes.
And what does he look like?
He looks like Johnny Depp.
Oh, they did not think of the movie because it's Edward Scissorhands. Number five. Al Pacino, Kevin Spacey, Alec Baldwin. This is where I'm hoping it starts getting a little tougher for you. I thought you would have got the first four, no doubt. Al Pacino, Kevin Spacey, Alec Baldwin. We're all in a movie together. Which movie was it? Glengarry Glen Ross. Number six, Sylvester Stallone, Julianne Moore, Antonio Banderas.
It's an awful Sylvester Stallone movie, too.
It's an awful Sylvester Stallone. That's correct. And
he plays like some silly assassin or something.
He plays a silly assassin, right? Of some sort.
Oh, God. I don't remember the name of the movie, though.
Andrew. Assassins!
Oh! Damn it! I even said the word.
You said the word, Drew. You said the word. Number seven, Chris Pratt, Elizabeth Banks, Alison Brie.
I don't know.
The Lego Movie.
Ah, voices, son of a bitch.
Voices, they're voices. Number 8, Paul Dano. Kieran Hines. Paul F. Tompkins.
There Will Be Blood.
There Will Be Blood is correct. Number 9, Yaphet Kotto. Harry Dean Stanton. Ian Holm.
I don't know who any of those people are. I probably know who those people are, but I don't know their names.
Yaphet Kotto, Harry Dean Stanton, Ian Holm.
I got nothing.
That's Alien.
Okay. That's Alien. Sure.
Yaphet Kotto's the black guy. Yeah. Harry Dean Stanton's buddy. And Ian Holm is Bilbo Baggins. Young Bilbo? Yeah. Younger Bilbo? Finally, number 10, Tom Hardy. Tom Berenger. And Pete Postlewaite. Tom Hardy, Tom Berenger, Pete Postlewaite. You got nothing?
Nothing.
You got nothing? What if I told you this? Still nothing?
I mean, is Batman?
Inception!
Yeah.
3 out of 10. Not good.
You are right.
Not good, buddy. Not good.
Oh, well. These things happen from time to time.
These things do happen, and you know what? It's cool. It's cool. Back to Vox Pop Light. Doug, thanks a lot, Doug. We appreciate the Krampus review. Cool that he liked it. Sounds like he liked it as much as I liked it.
No.
We agree on that, Krampus. Very good. What else we got going on with the Vox Pop Light?
On the Facebook, Justin Davis got at us.
Justin Davis, what's up, Justin?
He wants to know our thoughts on the new Batman v Superman : Dawn of Just Ice trailer.
All right.
I think he says, I think it may have given a bit too much away, and I'm not exactly thrilled about Doomsday already being introduced. Having said that, the rest looks good. Fuck is going to shut a lot of people up with his take on the bat. I also get the impression that I'm the only one that likes the way Jesse Eisenberg is portraying Lex.
Did you see the trailer, Drew?
Yes.
You saw the new trailer?
Yeah.
What'd you think of the trailer?
I mean, it was good. I mean, I do agree with him. The fact that, you know, some of this stuff's getting introduced now in the trailer, I would have liked to have been surprised about that.
Well, the Doomsday is really the one thing that was revealed anew.
Yeah. I mean, everything. I still just think this is going to be a clusterfuck of a movie. I mean, and the more that gets revealed, it's like every new thing that gets revealed just brings this whole different story in, and a whole different, very pivotal character in the series. And they're smashing them all into this fucking movie.
Yeah, it's this is kind of what our fear has been since they first announced the movie and all the different characters and stuff. We've been talking about this for a while.
That it was going to be a clusterfuck.
There's like too much going on. And yeah, it's like, I want to be excited for this movie. But
I do. And seriously, I'm kind of being turned. Like,
is Doomsday too much?
In the beginning, I was very critical of Batfleck. Now that I'm seeing the trailers and hearing people talk about it, I'm a little more open to the fact.
These look like he might be the best part of the movie.
But you see, now with everything else being in there, like, I really wanted to see the Batman v Superman thing. And with everything else being thrown, I have a feeling that a lot of, I mean, there's going to be a lot left on the table.
That they're not going to be able, because they're doing so much, they won't be able to get too deep into any one thing.
Yeah.
The fight. Now, so their conversation is going to be truncated. Doomsday is going to be rushed.
Doomsday is going to be rushed. Their confrontation might not necessarily be truncated, but it might not mean anything. It might just be a random fight scene in a comic book movie.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Ultimately, we know it's it's Dawn of Justice. Though we know they're not. The movie's going to end with them on the same side.
But still, with everything that's going on, how am I supposed to care about any of it?
Well, that's the ultimate question, isn't it?
You know?
How to get you to care.
No.
They're hoping that you already care. That you're bringing the investment in the Superman and the Batman. That you're bringing that to it already. That they don't have to do that much. They can just put him in a crazy story. and you're bringing all the background to it yourself.
Lazy bastards.
I guess so. That's the way it works, though, with that kind of that mythology that's been around for decades and decades.
I mean, I get it, but if you don't do it any justice, then how is it going to be a Dawn of Justice?
Hi-yo! Yeah, you know what, and I'm hoping, a lot of people are positing that maybe Doomsday is going to change. We're only seeing his first form. Doomsday is a character appearing in the comic books that every time he dies or it dies, yeah, it comes back stronger.
Yeah.
And it's like its bones, like it grows out of them, the protruding. It doesn't look that much like the Doomsday in the comic, which it's like, well, a lot like Apocalypse. Apocalypse looks so badass, but in the one image they put out, he looks like shit.
Yeah.
Like Doomsday looks badass in the comic books, all the bones sticking out of him. And in the movie, he looks like
shit.
Looks like shit.
No.
I just want him to look better, Drew.
Well, we'll see.
I still want the movie to be good. I'm with Justin on this one. I like the manic, over-caffeinated Lex Luthor.
Yeah, definitely.
That Eisenberg is doing.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. The joke he has in the beginning of the trailer where he shakes his hand. He's like, oh, don't start a fight with this guy. And the way he like slaps him on the chest like he thunks him.
Yeah.
Like, I like this guy. I like this asshole. He seems fun. And it seems more, the trailer almost seems designed in a way to show that there is some humor.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people kind of down on Man of Steel not having that much humor to it. And this one, they actually show some jokes. Like, the whole thing at the end, what, like, is she with you? Like, I thought she was with you.
Yeah.
You know, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. And that was our first taste of a real taste of Batman voice, too, isn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Nobody's like, oh, shit.
It wasn't that bad.
He's like, oh, shit. So Batman's going to say, oh, shit, in this movie, apparently, when he sees Doomsday.
Awesome.
That's going to be fun.
Sweet.
A curse of Batman. Oh, God. Batman. I am Batman.
On Twitter.
I liked it. I mean, it's an okay enough trailer. We're going to fucking see it anyway.
Well, not exactly.
Not like we're not
whether
see
it's good, with good, bad, or ugly, we'll see
we're,
it.
We're,
and we will let you people know.
Yes, because that is what we do here at Cinema Crest. So go ahead, Drew.
On Twitter, at Rage Against Twit got at us.
Our boy.
He's got a Rocky review haiku.
Oh, the original?
Yes.
Awesome.
Great camera work. Hmm. Classic music.
Yeah.
Good story.
Yep.
Nice rewatch. Thumbs up.
So wonderfully succinct.
And that is the Vox Populi, sir.
That's already the Vox Populi. Beautiful, I love it. Yeah, Rocky's fantastic. I mean,
it's a great movie.
I mean, come on.
Hey, yeah.
So before we get into the movie news, I did this a couple weeks ago, and then I forgot about it. And
your
then
informal
I, and
poll?
Then I found it. My informal poll on top three actors, actresses. Would you, if I mean, just throw? Actually, no. We'll wait. We'll do ours at the end. I did get a decent amount of responses.
Okay.
You know, very varied. Quite varied. Very few repeat answers. I'm going to go ahead and just start naming actors and actresses that people threw out there.
Gotcha.
That got one vote. One vote each. I'm going to start with one. People are like, huh? Charlotte Gainsborough.
Okay.
French last name. If you saw her, you would recognize her right away.
One sure. Of
daughter of Serge Gainsborough. Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Got one. Eddie Murphy. Vanessa Del Rio. Do you know who that is?
I don't know Dennis, we got one.
I mean, best actresses of all time. Vanessa Del Rio. Dwayne Johnson. Glenn Close. Al Pacino. Only getting one. Only one vote. Angela Bassett. Juliette Lewis. Kate Blanchett. Ray Fiennes. Only getting one vote. You looking up Vanessa Del Rio?
No idea who
No idea who the person is. Hey, well, someone's a fan. Chris Rock got a vote. Samuel L. Jackson got one. Zoe Saldana. Emma Stone. Denzel Washington. Will Smith. Jenna Rollins. Marlon Brando. Only one vote for Marlon Brando. Johnny Depp gets one. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Only one vote. Jake Gyllenhaal. Christian Bale. Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Mark Ruffalo, Michael Fassbender, Richard Jenkins. I love Richard Jenkins. Tom Hardy, Brad Pitt, Ryan Gosling, Sandra Bullock, Bruce Willis, Christopher Walken, Scarlett Johansson, and Robert De Niro. All those people got one vote each.
Okay.
For top three. Top three. And some of those people are like, what? You put him in the top three? And some of those old people are like, what? They only got one vote? Kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Getting two votes each. Gary Oldman.
So awesome.
So good, right? So good.
I mean, the only English white guy that I would actually believe is a Jamaican drug lord.
It's a Jamaican drug lord. It's a white boy day. Someone told me a white boy day. Ed Norton.
It's good.
He's good. Morgan Freeman.
I mean, it's the voice of God.
Voice of God. Jack Nicholson.
I mean, yeah.
Guy won mad awards for his acting.
Yeah, I mean, come on. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The Shining.
Boom.
Batman.
Boom. Modern here. Contemporary. Jennifer Lawrence. She's won multiple awards herself. She had critical acclaim out the gate with Winter's Bone when she was only 16 years old. You gotta say. Jennifer Connelly with two votes. Bit of a surprise there.
Yeah.
She's good, but I wouldn't think of her like best of all time, you know?
Yeah.
And Daniel Day-Lewis with two votes.
Oh, it's Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
Did Daniel Day-Lewis work for Daniel Day-Lewis, right?
Oh, only two votes, though. Three votes. Only one person got three votes. And in 200 billion years, you would not guess who it is, Drew.
Okay.
Natalie Portman. Who was a good actress. A very good actress, but for some reason, the only one with three votes ahead of all those other people.
Okay, sure.
Okay, now, here's the weirdest thing. Now it jumps to the next person, the one that got the most votes. Seven. All those people just won. Yeah. A couple of two. One person with three. One person that got seven fucking votes and for best actor.
And who was that?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Really?
Yeah.
People love the Leo.
They're all on the DiCaprio train now. Mm-hmm. After all those years of like the in the 90s, he was like the teen heartthrob shit and the Titanic backlash and all that stuff. And people saying he was the worst part of Gangs in New York and all that shit. Now he's like everyone's go-to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he looks crazy as fuck in The Revenant.
It does look
I'll tell you that much.
Crazy. That movie looks crazy.
That whole movie looks crazy. So awesome.
Holy shit, I can't wait for that movie, man. The Revenant looks so good. So DiCaprio, far ahead of everyone. So Drew, what names would jump out for you for like top two or three best actors ever?
Best actors ever? I mean, obviously the Daniel Day-Lewis Award for Daniel Day-Lewisery.
All right.
I mean, it's fucking Daniel Day-Lewis, for Christ's sake.
Daniel Day-Lewis, that's correct. That is correct, yes.
Also going up there, I would put Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, McKellen's great. Not a single vote for McKellen.
I mean,
you're so good. You're so good.
I'm actually going to put a family up there.
The whole family? The Baldwin family?
No.
Danny and Steven.
The Hurt Clan.
The Hurt Clan?
John Hurt.
The Hurt Locker?
No. John Hurt and what's his son's name? Or is he the son? Because it was William and John. John Hurt's the dad, right? William Hurt's the son?
Are they related?
They've got to be.
I don't think they are.
Really?
I don't think so. John Hurt and William Hurt related?
I don't know. Let's find out.
Yeah, Google that. You Google that. Well, I give everyone... Those are good answers, Drew. Those are good answers, though.
But if not, then I'm going to have to go with John Hurt because he's just
John
awesome.
Hurt's amazing. John Hurt is absolutely amazing. William Hurt's great, too. Good answers, Drew. But aside from Daniel Day-Lewis, you and everyone else, you're all wrong. Everyone's wrong. Daniel Day-Lewis is the greatest actor of all time. We should know this by now. And your number two is obviously Marlon Brando. And your number three, you can argue either way, Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. I'll take either one.
The answer is no.
The answer is no. They're not really. I didn't think they were. Isn't John Hurt English? I think he is.
Probably.
And William Hurt's American? So the correct answer is Andy Lewis, Marlon Brando, and then Pacino, De Niro. Pick one or the other. I'll accept either. There you go, people.
I mean, yeah, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis? Are you kidding me?
Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, come on.
He's been doing it since the 80s. So good. So good. Love that guy.
I drink your milkshake, Chris.
I drink your milkshake, and then I'll make a canoe out of it with my left foot. Okay. Only a couple of movie news stories here. A couple stories. Yeah, that was it for Vox Populi. So we're gonna be out of here pretty soon. Jason Priestley, remember him?
Yes, unfortunately.
Beverly Hills 90210. He has that small part in that Tombstone. It's like you're watching Tombstone, you're watching this badass movie western about Wyatt Earp, and it's like, hey, it's Kurt Russell, Powers Booth, Michael Biehn, Michael Rooker. Look at all these amazing actors. And oh, Jason Priestley.
I don't remember Jason Priestley in that movie, thank God.
He's got like glasses and a mustache.
I'm glad I don't remember him.
And then he sees like the bad things everyone's doing. He's like, I gotta go. I don't know.
Whatever you say.
It's the worst part of that movie. I love that movie, too. He's got mine on camera doing some directing himself.
Good for him.
And he's directing a biopic. Why is this? I got an ad here. So he's doing a biopic on a Saturday Night Live alum. A dead one. Can't think of who it might be. Also did some voice work on The Simpsons. Also did a TV show, news radio.
Hartman.
Phil Hartman. Ding, ding, ding. Good job, Drew. There you go. Jason Priestley is directing a Phil Hartman biopic.
That's weird.
Weird. Yeah, that's weird. I love Phil Hartman. The guy's great. I don't know if I necessarily want to see a biopic about the guy.
I mean, yeah.
I'd rather see maybe like a well put together documentary.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Right? Does that need to be dramatized? He was so good, though, Phil Hartman. The movie just can make me sad. Just made me think about how he's dead.
Yeah,
Spoiler alert, Phil Hartman's dead.
And I'm just going to be pissed that Phil Hartman can't play Phil Hartman.
Right? Like, who's this guy? He's not Phil Hartman.
Exactly.
He just makes me miss how good that guy was.
He was good.
He was so good. And by all accounts, too, one of the nicest guys ever. Huh? Which makes his
death so horrific.
Yeah, that much worse. He was such a cool dude. Everyone loved him.
Except for his wife,
who was very had some problems. So Sylvester Stallone, he's been trying to make another Rambo for a long time, right?
Okay.
Well, not for a long time. I mean, since 2006, 2007, he's been talking about Rambo 5. Whereas, like, Rocky Balboa, he felt like that was it for him. With Rambo, he was like, oh, I can make another one of these. And at one point, it was going to be him versus, like, drug cartels. Another point, it was going to be him versus some genetically altered monster in the woods or some shit. Now it's looking like Rambo
versus Predator
going to be versing Predator in Rambo versus Predator, and it's going to be amazing. No, but he will be on TV.
Okay,
we're getting a Rambo TV show
with Sylvester Stallone
as Rambo and someone else as his son. At some point between freeing old Vietnam POWs, helping the Taliban secure Afghanistan, and being a recluse loner in the Burmese jungle,
he found time to knock some chick up.
That must have been some awkward.
I was about to say, I guarantee she was a prostitute.
Yeah, some awkward prostitute sex of some sort.
Uh huh.
He's like, oh, I gotta get this out of me. Everyone's got their needs. But yeah, on Fox. Fox is doing a show. Which is going to be called Rambo : New Blood. That's terrible. Terrible title. So bad. So bad. The series will explore, quote, the complex relationship between Rambo and his son, JR. I hate it already.
This is going to be so awful.
An ex-Navy SEAL.
This is going to be so bad.
Yeah, it does sound pretty terrible. But you know what? Hopefully it'll be super violent. Because if network TV has shown anything, it's that they have no problem with going violent. Just look at Hannibal.
Yeah.
How crazy Hannibal got.
Yeah.
So Stallone should be able to rip out a couple throats here and there.
That'll be cool. More brown people can die.
Maybe, I don't know. Rambo's killed a lot of brown people. I mean, he took some time to kill some. He started killing white people. And that was just a self-defense. He was just fucking up some white people in Rambo.
Yeah.
And then in Rambo 3, he was actually helping the brown people fight the Soviets. So more white people.
But there were Soviet white people.
So there was still the other. And then Rambo 2, he's solely going against the yellow people.
Yep.
And then in Rambo, the fourth one, totally the horrible brown people.
Yep.
He's so that American xenophobia, like, yes, embodied in an Italian muscle man who likes to shoot guns. Why is it so entertaining, Drew? Why do I like it so? It's garbage. It's so bad for us. But I like it. I don't like Rocky 3 that much. That one kind of sucks. There's that scene where they're playing around with a dead goat.
Yeah, what the fuck was up with that?
It's like, you guys are savages. Come on. Fucking, you can play Scrabble. They got Afghani Scrabble, don't they?
I'm sure.
So we're getting a Rambo TV series. We'll see what race of people he destroys and destroys in that one. Really, neither am I, and I love Rambo, and I love Stallone, and I am not interested. But you know what? We don't get to decide. We don't get to choose. I like to bring this up right now and then again on the show to... let me drink some more beer. I like to bring this up on the show every now and then. Drew, we have to appreciate that we're here in Orlando where we have Universal and Disney and they're doing some crazy stuff that people all around the world want to get in on, and it's right up the road for us. We just got to cough up the money to get in there, right? Like with Disney, they're going to be opening up all that Star Wars stuff. People all over the world are going to be going crazy trying to get to Disney so they can check out the new Star Wars land in 2019, 2020. Yeah. It's right here, man. We can go.
Yeah.
We'll be able to go.
Yes.
Universal, Harry Potter stuff. People coming from all around the world to check out those Harry Potter
things. It's in our backyard.
It's in our backyard. We've been there multiple times. The Simpsons stuff, been there multiple times. Love it, right?
Yeah.
Universal Studios going to be opening a third theme park.
Excuse me?
We got Universal Studios, the original. We got Islands of Adventure right next to it. They have purchased 474 acres of land right up the road from where those two parks already are. As a matter of fact, it is just north of the convention center over here, like right by Universal Boulevard.
Okay.
Like by Sand Lake Road and the Rose and Shingle Creek Resort and all that area over there. This is very inside local stuff. Sorry. Sorry, our sweet out-of-state listeners. But hey, you guys are going to be interested in this. You're all going to want to come here and check out this new Universal theme park. You know why? You know why? Let's put two and two together, Drew. We talked about this on the show a few months ago. Universal Studios signed that deal with Nintendo to bring Nintendo stuff to Universal Parks.
Oh, really?
This could be Nintendo Land. Yes! Yes, Drew! Fucking Nintendo Land.
So we're going to have Zelda and Donkey Kong.
Mario Kart.
Mario.
Mario Kart, Drew.
Real life Mario Kart. We can
fucking throw bananas at each other.
And shoot turtle shells.
Sounds so violently awesome.
Yes, it does.
Right?
I agree 100%. Yeah.
Could be a lot of fun. And hopefully it'll be something like they did Legoland out there, right? But that's more for the kids.
Okay.
Right? That's like a Sesame place, like the Sesame Street place that's up north. It's for the youngins. Hopefully, Nintendo Land will be more that's for, like, people of all ages. You know, like Universal Studios or Islands of Adventure, that type of thing.
We'll see.
We'll see. So, I'm just saying, we should be appreciative of that kind of stuff. Know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
You do?
I know what you mean.
Pick it up what I'm throwing down.
We should do it.
Put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
Referencing for later.
Mm-hmm.
So, when are we going to go to Universal? We got it.
We got to get those passes, bro.
Let's get some passes. And we'll head over there and we'll get some... we haven't been there since they started doing Buff Light and Buff Dry. Buff?
You mean Duff?
I'm telling you, man, that vodka shot is kicking in. 100% corn distilled. Duff. Because before, last time I was there, it was just Duff. That was your only option.
Yeah.
Now you get Duff Light, and Duff Dry.
And we should do it.
And I'm hoping, I really do hope, that all three are exactly the same.
They probably are.
That would be hysterical. Yeah, so we gotta go. We gotta go do that, and I think the Twister ride's already shut down.
Already?
Yeah, we already shut it down.
That was quick.
But they're replacing it with the goddamn Jimmy Fallon ride.
What?
Yeah, like in the mind of Jimmy Fallon, the Late Show ride type thing. That sounds lame as hell.
Yeah, it sounds awful. It
sounds awful. No, I'm not looking forward to that ruin.
No, not at all.
That's cool. We'll just ride the mummy twice.
In a row.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Lines aren't that long anymore.
No. Not for the mummy.
Because everyone's over at the Rip Ride Rocket.
Hmm.
Which is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
It helps. Hey, if you're traveling from out of town, you're coming to Universal Studios, you go to Rip Ride Rocket. Insider tidbit here. Insider information. Look up the secret song list online. Where because they have your menu options for the songs you can listen to while on Roller Coaster, but they have like hundreds of songs in there that they're like secret songs.
There's some Rush on there.
There's some Rush, there's some Pantera, Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, guys. Check it out. It's pretty dope. All right, well, we ran out of steam, so that's the end of episode 152 of Cinema Crespediso.
152.
152. 152.
That's a lot of episodes.
So the next couple weeks, we're going to have from the Curtis Earth Show, Simon Time and Erica Lee. They'll be your next couple of guests.
Very nice.
And then the week after that's going to be Christmas week. So you'll have a special Christmas episode, everyone. And this year we're doing something special. Hope you're going to enjoy it. Drew, this week we should do our Rocky bonus episode. I want to get that
okay.
This week. So probably Wednesday.
Sure.
So people can look out for that. We're going to do a bonus episode talking about the whole Rocky series. And I think Psychology is not going to happen until like next year for sure.
It's a lot of work,
Psychology.
I mean, you're pretty much reading a book.
Rereading a book for like the fifth time. This time I'm taking notes. Boom. What's for dinner?
We got cube steak.
Yeah.
A salad.
Are we going to roast carrots. The carrots?
Yeah, cut them, roast them, peel them.
Who's making this?
I don't know. It's pretty easy. Either of us can do it.
Probably pretty easy. So you're saying.
I mean,
that.
You're.
By saying it's pretty easy,
and then I'm gonna be
playing
Fallout. Yeah. And I mean, I could stop cooking.
You could stop, but you don't want to stop.
No, I don't want to. Of course not.
Slap you, son of a bitch.
Of course not.
So roast the carrots. What for?
You know what you're doing.
400 degrees.
375.
375 for like 20 minutes.
It depends on how crunchy you want them.
I want them kind of crunchy.
I mean, I prefer my carrots overcooked.
Okay, so how long? 375 for 2 hours.
Nah, not that overcooked.
375 for...
375 for like 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes. That's what I said.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I said.
Yeah. And then we got some bread and some salad.
Some bread and some salad.
Some cube steaks.
The bread's got to cook at 425.
So you take out the carrots, up the temperature, and cook the bread.
But then the carrots are going to get cold.
Not if you keep them covered.
Okay. Fine.
Or you could do carrots in a pan.
That
works too.
Carrots?
You do pan carrots.
How do I do pan carrots? Can you saute them?
Yes, Chris.
How long do I saute them for? For 20 minutes?
Until they're cooked.
You said until they're overcooked.
I like my carrots burnt.
You like your hands? You want me to burn them?
No. I'm just saying. I don't mind them a little crispy.
So we're going for crispiness here.
If you want.
No, what you want. You're the one that wants them crispy.
I don't care.
Okay. All right, I think you can handle this.
You sure about that?
I think so.
I mean... You got some cooking skills, man. Don't doubt yourself, Chris.
All right. I won't doubt myself.
You know what you're doing.
I know what I'm doing. Inception. You didn't really think you'd get that Inception.
It's been a long time since the blah catastrophes, right, where everything was blah.
That means you're going to have to rewatch it.
I am. I. It's probably not a bad idea.
Not bad that you're going to have to rewatch that. Most of the other one we're talking about. Aliens? No, there we go. No, Assassins. No, Batman. Goodfellas.
I just think it's funny you called beer soda.
Where's my soda? Where's my soda?
Your soda's right next to you. Oh. Drink it.
It's good stuff.
So sugary.
I know.
What is that? 6% sugar?
Probably. Does that have a thing here? 7.3%.
Sugar.
Alcohol by volume.
Sugar.
Oh, shit.
Code word, Chris. Sugar.
Alcohol? Alcohol, sugar?
That's why beer soda.
So good. Delicious sodas. I dripped on the computer. And on the screen. Oh, this is a mess. Oh, boy, this is a mess.
So now you're spilling beer, not me. That's good. I'm glad I'm not the beer spiller anymore.
You know what? No, it's more of a drip. No, you just knocked it over. Okay, you know what?
No, I don't know. What?
This is the end.
Of the world as we know it?
Of the world as we know it.
Thank you
for spending your final moments with us, Cinema Crest Media. And I do feel fine.
Good. I'm glad.
I do feel fine. So thank you, Drew, very much for your participation.
You...
Headshot!
What?
What?
Excuse me!
Hadouken!
Okay. That I understood.
Okay. Speaking your language. Yeah. Thank you very much. If you're still listening at this point, I don't know why you're still listening. Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. So that means you're probably susceptible to what I'm about to say, which means you need to support more R-rated movies, help break up the big banks, read more books, and be excellent to each other. We'll be back next week with episode 153 and a bonus episode in the meantime. We are out of here. Check, 1, 2, check, hello, hello, check, hello, check. Check, 1, 2, hello, hello.
That is
loud. Check, 1, 2, hello.
There we go.
Check, 1, 2, well, drop the chair. Drop the chair, drop the chair. Now I'm low. Getting low. Getting low. Give me a check, Drew. Check 1, 2.
Check 1, 2. Check 3, 4. Check 5, 6.
5, 6.
Check 7, 8.
Hello, 1, 2. You got the new movies in theaters?
Yes. Heart of the Sea. We already saw Legend.
Yeah.
Does The Big Short come out?
Limited.
Okay.
So mention that. And
Lady in the Van. Do we care?
You can skip that.
Don Verdeen.
Yeah, mention that.
Mention that.
Yeah.
Okay. Sam Rockwell.
And
Dan McBride.
And that's it for that.
Okay.
That's
it for
that. Where's Legend in the box office?
Legend is number 18.
Alright. And Creed and Krampus are both in the top 5?
Yes.
Okay. Word. Word, word.
Yes, they are. In the top 5.
Let's get the energy up. Check 1, 2. So we can talk about all that in a little bit. First, let me hang out with your Skogbridge years ago.
What up, dude? Boom. I knew the drop was coming.
It's gotta be. Or some sort of drop.
I know the way these songs work.
Could be a little bassier, I guess.
It's more ethereal.
Yes.
It's an ethereal drop.
And then it gets dubsteppy, but not dubsteppy, but dubby. It gets dubbed, but not dubstep. Important difference there. Two totally different moves.
Dub, not dubstep.
Dub, not dubstep. Correct. If I had a college radio station, it'd all be music like this.
So you'd be
just the weirdest stuff I could find on Spotify.
So you'd be, you would just be on WPRK then?
That's what, yeah, college radio, yeah.
Because this sounds like, well, I would hear it on college radio. Like
there's some W stuff.
Some there random, like some random Sunday morning.
Right. Well, this part definitely Sunday morning because I pay them reggae's. Those reggae guys all got dicked over with them early spots. There's some show called like Pagan Sunrise, and it's like Fridays at 5 or something, and it's all like Celtic music and world music, and it's like pagan music and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we're giving you the best in astrology and card readings or whatever. Going real heavy with all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Pretty funny. I wouldn't go that route personally. But then again, it's not my show. That's their show.
Yeah, it is.
This is my show. This is our show.
This is the show?
Yeah, this is the show. How's it going, Drew?
Welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
I'm Dylan.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Doing all right. Chilling, listening to some music. Taking it easy this week. We ain't got no guests.
Sweet. Fuck guests. Who needs them? I mean, we do. But yeah. besides people like us, fuck it. Who needs guests?
Right.
House guests. They're the worst.
Can be.
They can be. Unless you are one.
In which case, you're the worst.
And you're like,
congratulations.
I don't want to be the worst. I don't want to be.
I was the worst for a week ago.
Shout out to all our friends up in Brooklyn.
The BK represent.
You guys know what's up. The song's a little... See, I want to go opposite direction with the energy. This one's fun, right? This one's fun. So this episode, I'm just going to read passages out of Psychology.
Okay.
This is from Chapter 7, Under Siege 2, Dark Territory.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. Seagal fares very well in his first sequel, somehow moving from a naval battleship to a civilian train really manages to make it seem like a different movie, not a rehash. Do you feel that way, Drew?
No.
Under Siege 2, it still feels like a rehash, right? Kind of?
Definitely.
In a way. There are lots of little parallels between the first and second movie, but they're subtle enough that I didn't even notice them at first. Like in part one, the takeover happens while Ryback is making pies, so they end up getting burnt. In part two, it happens while he's making a cake, so it never gets finished.
Oh.
In part one, Ryback is imprisoned in a walk-in freezer when the shit goes down. In part two, he intentionally hides in one. Luckily, this one opens from the inside.
Well, they all do.
For that reason. The first one ends with Ryback at the captain's funeral in full Navy dress uniform. In part two, he puts on the same outfit to visit his brother's grave and for the movie poster photo shoot.
Nice.
Let me see. In Under Siege 2. Let me see here.
Under Siege 2, bad things happen.
Languages, English. Improvised weapons, bomb made with a concentrated coconut oil, lighter fluid, flare gun. Old friends include Admiral Bates and Captain Garza. At the end of each chapter, all these things are like tallied up so you can keep track. Broken glass. Is there broken glass in Under Siege 2? A window panel and a train door gets shot out. Unfortunately, those windows are too small to throw somebody through.
Yeah. he likes doing that. He likes throwing people through stuff.
Yeah, like if you go back to the early ones, let's see. This is from... of course, Chapter 4, Out for Justice.
Out for Just Ice.
Out for Just Ice. Arguably his best film. Languages, English and Italian, improvised weapons, sausage, bar towel, pool cues, pan, rolling pin, corkscrew. Yeah,
doesn't he use like a link of sausages like nunchucks?
Yeah. the really big fat ones. Yeah, because he's in a butcher shop, like an Italian deli. And then one guy swings a meat cleaver at him, and he dodges aside and then pushes his arm so that he ends up putting the cleaver in his own leg. He's like, psh, like that. That's pretty sweet. Fighting bar, yes. He always keeps track of whether there's a fight in the bar. Here we go. Broken glass. Pimp's head through passenger side window and windshield. Glasses in bar. Guy smashed through glass door. Another guy thrown through a window. Richie's head smashed through a window. Those are all
nice. Better. Couple doors, couple windows, all the day's work.
He's keeping track of the terms of endearment. In this movie, he says my man a lot.
What's up, my man?
In On Deadly Ground, he says brother, cupcake, and sweetheart a lot. Those are his terms of endearment in that movie.
Such a weird guy.
So weird that... there's a whole book full of tracking all this shit that's the same in all his movies. All the things that keep popping up. There's a through line. That's why we're going to do a whole episode based on this. But it's going to be a lot of fucking work. So,
Well, prepare yourself,
see,
Mr. Crespo.
See, I started highlighting stuff here.
Good. Prepare yourself. You should get some different colored highlighters.
Yeah. Well, this is the first go through.
The first highlighting session?
First highlighting session, then the taking the notes section, and then the compiling of everything. Being a psychologist and stuff. This guy, he had to write a book. Imagine all the work he did, all his notes, and like, probably had a big board with a bunch of different categories, keeping track of all different movies. That covers like over 20 films. That shit's crazy.
Somebody has a little bit too much free time on their hands.
I don't know, man. Guy, it paid off, though. He's got a Guillermo del Toro pull quote on the cover.
This guy's also a film critic, right? Like, he's kind of known.
Well, internet film critic. Because he got in early. He started doing that shit in like 2000.
Good for him.
He has a very unique voice. It's good stuff.
When did you get on that shit, Chris?
What, right? 2000. Right in a ball, get it on in 2000? I had other interests at that time. A lot of shit going on. I was too busy on Scour downloading music. Gigs and gigs of music.
So much music.
That I'd never even bothered listening to because there was just so much.
But you had to have it.
It's like, sure, I'll download everything Rolling Stones ever did. I mean,
why not?
I'm never going to listen to it.
Most of it's probably not that good anyway.
No, this one's good.
A little dour.
We'll go a little jazzy.
A little jazzy.
So, what are you even up to, man?
I'm Ben, man.
How's Fallout 4?
Fallout 4 is awesome.
Yeah.
You'll hear more about it in my 2 cents.
I wondered. I was like, is it going to go back to it? Probably.
Yeah.
I almost pre-wrote it down.
I mean, it's consumed my life. I mean, since it's come out, I've already put in almost probably close to 80 hours.
Wow. And that's what's taking a whole week off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when you average 4 hours a day,
yeah,
I mean, it's pretty quick to get up there. I mean, it's not one of those games you can just like plop down and, you know, play for a half hour, 45 minutes just to kill some time.
Yeah, you don't get that much done.
No, you won't get anything done. You'll get like halfway to the place that you want to get to,
yeah,
and that's that.
So you can barely advance it forward.
It's very time consuming. I mean, at least for me, it's worth it.
That's why
it's an enriching experience.
That's what
Chris.
They designed it for, right? To be time consuming.
Yes.
To make you in it.
Yes.
Like the Oasis.
Exactly.
In Ready Player One.
Yes.
You're that much closer to the Oasis,
dream. Dude. If I could just plug it into the back of my head, I would.
Just live in the wasteland?
Let's fucking do it.
Is that what's called, the wasteland?
The wasteland.
It's all the wasteland.
It is all the wasteland. I mean, we're living in a wasteland.
Mad Max, we are. A teenage wasteland.
Teenage wasteland.
Yeah.
We don't have the rights to that song.
Oh, but we have the rights to all this, though.
No, we don't have the rights to anything.
And your friend there. Still waiting for that cease and desist.
Oh, it's gonna be so. I can't wait to frame that thing.
Yeah, we'll put it right here on the.
Oh, my, awesome. Little birdie. So yeah, Fallout's great.
Yeah.
How's Mad Max?
It's fun.
You played it for a little bit.
It's fun.
I saw you the other day.
Yeah. It's repetitious, but it's fun.
Different wasteland.
Different wasteland. That's when
you know. Or is it the same wasteland?
Parallel universe. That's possible. It's like how all the Pixar movies take place in the same universe.
Do they?
Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
Someone made an argument for that.
I was about to say, so now the universe that they all live in is one where
it's a nightmare land where toys and rats cook. Toys are people and rats cook.
Rats cook and dinosaurs roam the earth with humans.
I guess so. Still gotta see that. Yeah.
I mean, how does that twist into the mythos?
I don't think they worked that one out yet. I don't think it just came out. They gotta figure it out, but they will. Look at what he's trying to do. I love this song. Very horn heavy.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy.
Yeah, it's a lot more chill when we don't have a guest. We can do whatever we want.
Less
is expected, I think.
Yeah.
We can dick around more.
And just kind of sit here and talk about bullshit.
About that bullshit. We gotta put up that spotlight poster.
Eventually,
Thinking down there.
Down there somewhere. I still got that corner that we gotta fill out.
True, yeah.
It's the right size for that.
That's true. We can put it over there. That's a good idea. How many faces can he see? How many of them? There's almost 30 of them up there. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30.
37, 38, 39, 40, 41.
They're really that many?
42, 43, 4. Oh, my faces are nipple.
Yeah.
45. I see 45 because I count those up there in the stickers themselves.
Oh, I wouldn't count those.
Why not? There are faces.
I guess so. So 45 total.
45.
Not bad.
It's a lot of faces.
You might have missed a couple.
Oh, 46, 47. 47.
I don't want to put any on that thing because it's a one of a kind.
Yeah, but it's laminated.
The blow up. Yeah, but then I don't want any residues left behind or anything.
I mean, it's easy enough to clean, but I feel you. Just keep
it. But everything else is pretty much fair game.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, all this stuff. Yeah, pretty much. All of it. And that's why it's all taped together.
This will be a periscope we good for. We could have periscoped all that.
Cut and shredded.
Behind the scenes, periscoping. Drew looking for all the faces on the wall. But he could, but it's already done. It's been done.
It has been.
It's been done audially. People can imagine it now.
I feel sorry for them. They need a really vivid imagination.
People do. That's why there's a theater of the mind type stuff.
Well, something more upbeat, Chris.
That's what I'm looking for. I haven't listened to a lot of sad soundtrack sounding music lately.
Why is that?
I think it's just strings or cellos. I don't know, just all the.
Boom, boom, boom.
Check 1, 2. Flirting seems to be working.
Okay, awesome.
That's good.